Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Today, we're very kindly joined by Alan Green once again. Alan, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, John. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we were speaking last week, weren't we? And we were in the midst of the US elections, and we didn't cover it in too much detail because at that time we were seeing the results still coming in, which leaves obviously a little bit of uncertainty. But of course, we came in on Monday, and with Biden's win, we saw a very sharp rally up in equity markets. However, that has taken something of a back seat now, because shortly after that, we saw the announcement from Pfizer about the breakthrough on the vaccine. That's been dictating markets, of course, since then. So I think that's going to be something that we focus on today. And we have three stocks that we're going to discuss. And one of those very much plays into that theme that we'll cover later on in the podcast. But Alan, looking at this move, I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, this vaccine news was something that the markets were anticipating to some extent for some time, that there was always going to be a sharp rally when we saw an announcement on a vaccine. But I'm looking at it now and thinking, we've got the FTSE 100 at 63.50, there or thereabouts. Do we now see a setup in markets where that good news to some extent is priced in with that sharp rally? We know that there's going to be a vaccine coming. Of course, the details need to be clarified on terms of when and the scale that the vaccine is going to come in. But do you think now that markets start to shift their attention towards the economy and the longer term recovery and how that may be hampered with the damage that we've seen due to COVID? Or do you think that we see a grind higher from here in markets now that everyone's going to be looking forward to the first vaccines being distributed?
That's a very good question, Jonathan. Of course, we've had some very good news out this morning on the UK economy. From July to September, the economy grew 15.5%, and obviously that was from a pretty low start point. But nonetheless, you know, those numbers are good to see. At that point, of course, the lockdown had been lifted. We're still just over 8% down, or the economy is just over 8% smaller than before the virus stuck, according to data from the ONS. But I think, we were expecting news on a vaccine at some point. Of course, Pfizer sort of rocked the markets literally on Monday with that announcement. Certainly test data seems to be confirming a success rate of over 90%. A lot of the anti-vaccine brigade are out there saying, well, you know, if I take this, I'm going to grow two heads. It's far too early in the day and all the rest of it. But nonetheless, it's a great step forward. I think what surprised me more than anything was, of course, we saw a lot of the stocks that have been leading the way, within the COVID portfolio, plummet on the news of this. And I think the markets on Monday suddenly thought, oh, goodness me, the cure's here. We can get back to normal. All the stocks that were involved in looking for cures, providing testing equipment, providing quick tests, they're all redundant. Well, no, of course they're not. Firstly, this is the first move in a dangerous virus that mutates, that they already know the virus is mutating. And secondly, this is something that's going to be around for a long time to come. So if we're going to get back to normal, we will need proper testing at airports, quick tests such as Avacta's test, which takes a few minutes to get the results, the antigen saliva test. And of course, Novacyt, which I'm going to talk about shortly, which also has a molecular diagnostic kit, which it's blazed a trail with and has been approved by the UK Health Service. There's an awful lot of development still to take place. Are we, to answer your question, is the market going to grind higher from here? I think we're seeing a new floor being laid at the moment. And of course, the companies that have been impacted most, the leisure companies, the entertainment industry, they will start to come back once we can get it back to some semblance of normality. So yeah, I think the market is looking good value. I am bullish on the outlook, but of course, it's not going to be a straight line up from here.
Indeed. So one thing I want to touch on now is this rotation. And we have discussed it and touched on it previously, a rotation away from the COVID stocks as such. So that, of course, you've touched on there on a number that are directly involved in testing and therapeutics. But of course, there's those COVID stocks that are very much related to consumer behavior when you're looking at Just Eat and Ocado. Yeah. In the FTSE 100, Fresnillo and Polymetal, albeit not directly correlated to people's activities, but more to gold and investor behavior of looking for a safe haven.
Yes.
I mean, looking at these stocks since the close on Friday, we've got Fresnillo down 15%, Polymetal down 10%, Just Eat and Ocado are both down roughly 7%. Whereas if we're looking at the other side on the FTSE 350, we have the Pubs Group, SSP Group up 62%, Cineworld up 55%, Capita up 49%, WH Smiths, IAG, Rolls-Royce, all up between 40 and 30%. Do you think it's a case now that investors are going to start to be looking forward to the middle of next year, the end of next year, when the economy gets back to normal, and they start picking up some of these shares, maybe with profits that they've made on the COVID stocks? Or do you think there's some legs to be had in these COVID stocks still going forward?
Well, as I said just now, this is by no means over. This virus is with us for good. And the testing kits that are being made available in the market, the apps that we've spoken about previously, such as the Cat and I Back to Work app, the COVID app, all of these will have a place. There will be some treatments that will no longer be required, of course. But as you say, the market is looking probably around the middle of next year now, and it's pricing in what it thinks is going to happen there. So that's why we're seeing the big jumps in stocks like in some of the pub stocks, and of course Cineworld as people return to the cinema. But it won't be a straight line. I mean, I think what we can say is that by the middle of next year, by next summer, we will be back to some semblance of normality. Although, of course, when you travel, you'll have to prove that you haven't got COVID, and probably they'll be looking at a test that's taken place within the previous 24 hours as being evidence enough. So that there are an awful lot of hoops to jump through, but I think now we're on the road to some sort of recovery. I do think the markets will harden from here. And, you know, we can probably look at where we are now at around 6,400 as a good floor from which to return to the highs of 7,000 and above.
Indeed. So it's going to be very interesting days and weeks ahead, I think, for these markets. But let's now focus on those stocks that are very much involved in the fight against COVID. So you touched on there on Avacta, and we're going to discuss Novacyt in some detail. But looking at Synergen as well, that was obviously providing a therapeutics, and they're obviously trialing certain things there. Avacta and Novacyt very much focused on the testing side of things. Looking at the share prices there, Synergen's down 41% since Friday, Avacta down 32%, but Novacyt's only down 16%. So there is quite a big difference there in the share price movements. Now, what do you think is driving that differentiation there?
Well, I think the primary reason for the recovery, I mean, clearly with the development at Pfizer, the valuations of the COVID companies is being looked at again. I think the as often happens in these situations, if you want to send out a bullish signal to the markets, there's nothing better than a director sticking his hand in his pocket and buying shares. And I think Graham Mullis, the CEO of Novacyt, has absolutely knocked out of the park this morning. He's bought 60,875 shares at £8.17. That's 497,000. So a smidge under £500,000 of his own money in the open market. And that, to me, signals great confidence in the future for the industry, the future for Novacyt, the future of the industry, and really serves to back up what I was saying just now, that, you know, this is the first move or the first element of recovery in what is going to be a very long and protracted game. And the companies at the forefront of battling COVID and providing tools both at the vaccine end, at the testing end, these companies still have a very big role to play. And I think Graham Mullis has been, at the coalface for many years with Novacyt and seen the COVID crisis develop. They've met the COVID crisis with their molecular diagnostic tests. And of course, it's been really, I guess you could say, probably the flagship stock for UK listed COVID companies. So the director buying, and also Ed Snape, the other director, bought further shares yesterday as well. But the company has had an incredible year. If you consider, I think if you bought shares in the company at the start of the year, you spent £4,500 on stock, I think at about 17p, your investment would now be worth just over £500,000. So maybe that's what was an investment that Graham Mullis had in mind. It's just been the most incredible year. So anyone invested in the company who stuck with it would have seen a high also of £12.70 at one stage as well. So what have Novacyt done? Well, their lead business units are Primer Design and Lab 21 products, and they supply a range of assays and reagents worldwide into oncology, microbiology, hematology, and so on. And also, of course, they've got the market-leading CE-marked COVID-19 test kits, which has resulted in numerous strategic partnerships, of course, with AstraZeneca, University of Cambridge, and Glaxo. During the first half of the year, they won a UK Department of Health contract. There's a 2,000 patient trial underway at Queen Mary's Hospital. And of course, we know the first half sales grew something like 900% to €72 million. EBITDA grew by over 2,000% to €49.4 million. So it's been a year that financially has totally justified the huge boom in and the huge growth in Novacyt's valuation. The company also said when it declared its interims back in September that it expected that second half revenues would be in excess of €150 million, with EBITDA in excess of €100 million. So the company very much going from strength to strength. Graham Mullis, the CEO, said at the time they were seeing continual strengthening from growing operational cash flows, and they saw this continuing for the next 12 to 18 months. And he's backed his statement, of course, with his own money, as I said earlier this morning, by buying £500,000 worth of shares. Also, from this huge cash generation, they've amassed a war chest of cash to make acquisitions. And indeed, they made an acquisition last month of ITIS for £10 million cash, which basically secures the IP for Novacyt's test instruments or the rapid test instruments, and is already earnings accretive to the group, and is expected to contribute some £4 million sterling into the pot for this year. So the future for the group looks very bright. I think at this juncture, Graham Mullis has put his money where his mouth is, and I think the shares do look great value, and they're going to continue to deliver value regardless of what Pfizer or what any other drug giant might do in the meantime.
So, I mean, there will be people who are looking at this and maybe a little bit concerned about Novacyt. I mean, with that huge jump up in revenue, that's going to be very hard to see such a high growth going forward. Of course, in the second half, there will be still quite a high level of activity from the COVID testing side of things. But what's the risk to these shares that if we move into sort of next year, middle of next year, and that there's widespread vaccines and the reduction, there's a big reduction in the demand for tests. Does Novacyt have anything else that he could fall back on in terms of revenue going forward?
Very much so. I mean, it's now got the first half of the year, it built these strategic partnerships with AstraZeneca, Glaxo, and University of Cambridge for the test kit. So test kit, in order for us to get back to normal, effective testing is absolutely vital. We can't do that. We can't move around. We can't get on aircraft. We can't get on a train without being pretty certain that we're okay. In order for life to get back to normal, effective testing is critical. Novacyt's testing kit is well proven already. It was ordered by the UK Department of Health, so they have those contracts in place. But they also, as I said at the start, they supply assays and reagents across the world to other big pharma groups. So they've got these long-standing strategic partnerships and relationships with other pharma companies involved in oncology, microbiology, hematology and serology. So, and there's also, you know, Graham Mullis, the chairman, James Wakefield, the CFO, Anthony Dyer, they've got between them some 80 years of experience in the healthcare industry. And Graham Mullis has overseen several successful exits. Of course, he worked with Biocompatibles, Clear Lab, and iCure. There's a lot of experience on the team to steer Novacyt forward. But I also go back to Graham Mullis' statement that the forecast revenues for the second half are expected to be 150 million euros plus in excess of an EBITDA of 100 million. So on the full year, that's going to add up to a pretty chunky sum of money. And, you know, Graham Mullis' share purchases this morning, 500,000, you know, in share purchases, I think underscores his confidence in the business and his view for the next 18 months. And I think when you're trying to decide, you know, are the shares offering good value at this point, if the CEO is spending that sort of money, making those sort of statements, I think you can be confident, certainly in the medium term, that Novacyt offers good growth potential.
Yeah, an interesting story, and I'm sure one that we will be touching on again, Alan, on the podcast. So a sector that we'll be keeping a very close eye on. But we're going to move on now to a stock. Now, this is Blue Prism. Alan, this is one that I do remember from some years ago, a huge growth story. It's operating in the cyber sector. It was one that really came on to the scene when it was just starting to become quite a popular investment theme some years ago now. And it had a very sharp rally, but you know, for the last sort of year, 2 years, it's been trading relatively sideways. Is it, you know, it's obviously been a little higher than where it is now and some quite a little bit lower. But what's the latest update from them and what's been happening there?
Okay, so we're in the run up to a further trading statement from the group. But as you rightly say, John, Blue Prism are engaged in RPA, robotic process automation. So, and they provide enterprise grade RPA processes to a number of blue chip clients in the UK. They're used by Waitrose and Arla Foods, but probably a lot of business people won't know they've come into contact with them, but will have used the process. The automated process was used for the bounce back loan application process by a lot of the leading UK banks. So they're at the forefront of this, as you rightly say, delivered huge growth. And of course, given the given the restrictions that COVID has placed on every, on all of us, the remote processes means the company has been able to work and develop the business and build revenues ongoing. When they when they announced interims in June, revenues have grown 70% to 68.5 million. EBITDA was roughly the same. There was an EBITDA loss of 30 million versus 31 million previously, but the group had net cash at that point of 140 million in the bank, and were growing customers at a rate of knots, just under 1900 customers versus 1300 previously. The group chief executive, Jason Kingdon, took over from the co-founder, Alistair Bathgate, who stepped down after 18 years. Kingdon said basically the group are on course to become cash break even in 2021. And they're now generating well over 1 million in new monthly recurring revenues. And of course, with any business like this, it's all about the recurring revenues, the ability to generate these recurring revenues, which Blue Prism is very much at the forefront of. So the shares have really delivered very strong growth. When most stocks fell off a cliff in the second, third week in March, the shares hit a low of £8.50, and they've just delivered a really, really steady upwards chart since that point, hitting a series of higher lows on the way, and now look very well placed, I think, to revisit year highs of just under £19 on the year. The company has used throughout the past few years made acquisitions. It acquired and integrated a company called Thoughtonomy in 2019, and is generally regarded globally as the market leader in RPA software. So a very strong growth story. A company that could be viewed as perhaps operating in a niche, but a company whose processes and services most people have probably used without realizing.
Yes, I think this is a very good example of a British technology company that is going through, or has gone through, the growth stages, very early stages to some extent. Of course, it's been loss making, but it's now starting to get towards some form of profitability. I think that, you know, to keep that sustainable, I think maybe it's still a few years off, but one that's very much a story of growth, and look forward to see more from them coming forward. Indeed. So, I don't know. Now we're going to discuss one last company here. Now we've been discussing the relatively racy areas of biotechnology and robotics, but we're going to move over now to a company. Investors would have heard of this. They had a disaster in recent years. Maybe not as sexy as the companies we've been discussing, but it's Capita. And they have actually been one of the strongest performers since last Friday, up 48% on the back of the Biden win and the announcement on the vaccine. So what's been happening at Capita?
Okay, so Capita, as everyone knows, it's a well-known household name, and they are, of course, the company to which many other companies and organizations and government bodies outsource various tasks and services to. And I think the thing about Capita is that it is absolutely entrenched, almost inextricably entrenched within the government infrastructure. It undertakes an awful lot of outsourcing work for the government, and that's in regard to the Ministry of Justice. And of course, earlier this year we heard the Capita won a 3-year extension to the Ministry of Justice contract worth 114 million, four-year extension with the Department of Education to administer teachers' pension scheme worth some 60 million. But of course, the company is very hard hit by COVID, and indeed, shares fell off a cliff shares are trading at about one. I think they hit a year high of £1.70. No, in fact, £1.80 in January, and then literally fell off a cliff. So second week in March again, shares hit an all time low of 27p, and they've really bumped along the bottom. Occasionally popped up since that point, but recovered very strongly, as you said, John, last Friday after the Biden win was more or less formalized. During the COVID crisis, the CEO, John Lewis, I think, has done a very good job. And he said so earlier in the year they were making tough but prudent cost-cutting decisions. They were reducing the board salaries and incorporating furloughing, the furlough schemes, to save some $100 million on the fixed costs that the company has to pay out. Number of disposals, the company sort of cut 200 jobs in June. It also disposed of Eclipse Legal Services for some $56 million in June as well. But really, since then, there's been very little news from the company up to November the 10th, where the company announced a trading update, and that was, of course, that was on Tuesday this week, and the company said it was trading in line with expectations. On the year, it had generated revenues of $803 million versus $902 previously. But it said that the reason for the fall in revenues was purely COVID. Operating profits were much higher, $30 million in operating profits versus $12 million last year. And adjusted EBITDA of $115 million versus $111 million last year. So that, to me, represents a really resilient set of numbers. And the company expects to hit numbers in line with the year. There is an issue with debt, of course, and the company is working to reduce that debt pile. The group is in the process of disposing of an educational software business, which will basically reduce the debt pile further still. And John Lewis said at that point, they continue to strengthen the balance sheet with disposal of non-core assets, and they are in the process of building a sustainable and focused capital group going forward. So I think the Biden win favors them. Clearly, they're engaged with software projects and outsourcing projects around the world, primarily in the UK, though. So I think going forward, this could be a very good recovery play to get involved with. And I will declare at this point that I do hold shares in Capita, and I did buy them earlier in the year when they were lower than they are now. So hoping for some gains myself.
So, I mean, I remember Capita going back some years. It was a very solid growth story, very much reliant to some extent on government contracts.
Yeah.
Going back to 2012 through to 2016, very solid bull run it had there. But of course, with Carillion, there's been a tar. A lot of these companies have been tarred with the same brush in terms of government outsourcing. I mean, how much has Capita changed its business model since then? And do you think we could? I mean, obviously, the share price back then was significantly higher than what it is now. So it's a completely different era. But I mean, do you think we could see a Capita now with a changed business model go back into a long series of growth?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the debt with any company is a concern, but I do. I think Capita, as I said at the start, they are absolutely entrenched within government infrastructure, and it's a lot easier for the government to just go to Capita and say, right, we need this. We need the Ministry of Justice sorting. We need the Department of Education sorting. You've got the infrastructure. Can you please administer? Knowing full well that they are running so many other infrastructure schemes for the government. So I think that potential is there. And also, they've fared well during lockdown, although that it's not a huge fall in revenues, or not the fall that you might expect. So I think they've managed the crisis well. Obviously, we saw what happened with Carillion, as you rightly said, but I think Capita are well managed with John Lewis, and they are in the process of disposing of non-core assets, going forward to reduce that debt pile and become a leaner, meaner, and fitter organization. So I think it's they represent a good investment proposition right now. Will it get back to the highs earlier in the year? I don't know, but I think if we see more contract wins and we get further updates as we get towards the full year numbers announcement, that's very possible.
Indeed, I think there's three interesting stocks. I think Capita does just finish it off quite nicely. In fact, you know, three interesting stocks there, each with their own merits, that we could see quite an interesting end to 2020 for those. So ones that I'm sure that we will be discussing again at some point, Alan, and a number of those we have been touching on in some detail in the past as well. So there's a good story there behind them. So just as a recap there for the stocks that we've just discussed, of course, we were just discussing Capita, which trades under the ticker of CPI, Novacyt with a ticker of NCYT, and Blue Prism has a ticker of PRSM. So, Alan, thank you very much for once again being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John. My pleasure.
So let's see what next week brings and see if we see any more excitement towards the end of this week. Thanks very much, Alan.
Thank you, John. Bye for now.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.